At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Omar Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on our fourth quarter and year-end 2013 conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaytan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as reconciliation to IFRS measures, we direct you to our news release, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. With that, I'll turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you, Omar. Thank you, everyone, for joining our conference call today. The current year has been a positive one with respect to a return to healthy market conditions and the type of earnings and results we believe AGT is capable of through the past few years, where our business was affected by many macro environmental issues globally. The positive results we are reporting today are certainly in part as a result of initiatives we have undertaken as a management team to operate a more efficient business focused on working capital and cost management. These initiatives provide an opportunity to maximize earnings in a high fixed cost environment and in a market for our core legacy business that has struggled through supply-demand imbalances. These conditions provided a framework to implement many of the programs we are now benefiting from, positively impacting on our earnings. As well, the diversification initiatives, particularly those in our new food ingredient and packaged food segment, one that we feel will become the future of AGT, appear to be showing great promise. We expect this segment will be transformational to our business and positively complement our core legacy business in pulses and staple food commodities. I'd like to share with you some of the things we are excited about in our business, and some of the things we're certainly monitoring with respect to market and economic conditions. However, first I want to ask our CFO, Lori Ireland, to share with you an overview of our Q4 and year-end 2013 results. Lori?
Thank you. Hello, I would like to focus on a couple of key items. This quarter, AGT has begun reporting three segments, being pulses and grain processing, trading and distribution, and our newest segment, food ingredients and packaged foods. We are pleased to report that this segment showed adjusted gross profit of $121.06 per metric ton and EBITDA of $90.77 per metric ton for the quarter ended December 31, 2013. AGT is in the final stages of commissioning the second line in our Minot, North Dakota facility, and product shipments are going as expected. Non-cash foreign exchange includes a snapshot of outstanding foreign-denominated accounts receivable and accounts payable, as well as outstanding foreign exchange contracts, and includes the contract relating to the high-yield bond as well. Note that this is a non-cash item and will fluctuate depending on the strength or weakness of foreign currencies when compared to the Canadian dollar. When you look at the Statement of Comprehensive Income, you will see two foreign currency numbers. $27.6 million relates to the mark-to-market adjustment on accounts receivable, accounts payable, and intercompany balances. The other comprehensive loss of $14.8 million relates to foreign exchange differences on our foreign investments. AGT has a treasury process in place to ensure that the need to purchase foreign currencies to settle debt will be minimized, and it will be minimized if it will result in realized losses on foreign exchange. Adjusted earnings per share were $1.09 basic and $1.08 fully diluted. This is an improvement over adjusted earnings per share of 28 cents basic and fully diluted for the year ended December 31st, 2012. I wanted to remind our investors and analysts that AGT tracks adjusted earnings per share as it is reported exclusive of the non-cash foreign exchange effects of our global business. Early on in our reporting as a public company, we decided to ensure that these effects were clearly stripped out of our results. Inclusion of both gains and losses that result from snapshot non-cash IFRS effects do not accurately reflect the cash flow generating ability of our business. General and administration and marketing, sales and distribution expenses have increased over the prior year due to the increased global platform and increased volumes. For example, AGT has expanded operations to include sales offices in Russia, Ukraine, India and China. In addition, the food ingredients segment has ramped up and additional research and development staff have been added. The general and administrative expenses for the quarter ended December 31, 2013 includes costs associated with the private placement as well as market development costs and accounts receivable allowances. Although inventory and trade accounts receivable values increased in absolute dollars, we consider this to be a positive indicator. Demand is strong in the majority of AGT subsidiaries. Inventory and accounts receivable turns decreased for the year ended December 31, 2013, when compared to the year ended December 31, 2012. Trade accounts receivable days outstanding decreased from 68 days in 2012 to 52 days in 2013, and inventory days outstanding decreased from 86 days in 2012 to 74 days in 2013, for a total of 126 days in 2013 compared to 154 days in 2012. A decrease of 28 days year over year. Net debt decreased from $319.6 million at September 30, 2013 to $318.5 million and increased to compared to $267.2 million at December 2012. Continued monitoring and improvements in inventory and accounts receivable turns have allowed AGT to decrease the level of net debt from September 2013 through accounts receivable and inventory increased as a result of growth of the company. Metrics continue to be calculated for each facility, and performance targets are being tied to inventory and accounts receivable turns at each plant and country operations level. We feel that continued focus on cash collection will help AGT decrease its net debt. Thank you.
As you can see from our results, we're really seeing the impact of the trend towards normalized conditions we've spoken about for some time. Exports from Canada to key markets like India, Turkey and the Middle East have been strong throughout the year to record levels in some cases. We expect strong performance in exports in the traditional shipping period in 2014, which may be viewed as evidence for the normalization of the pulse markets globally. With supply and demand coming back into balance, we expect our legacy pulses and grain processing and trading and distribution segments to continue positive earnings contributions to AGT. As well, many of the metrics we have focused on in the past few quarters are also demonstrating positive impacts on our business, as Laurie discussed. Margins and volumes in these segments are tracking as we expect, and this is positively impacting our global capacity utilization in our traditional processing operation. As I have mentioned, in a high fixed cost environment, incremental increases in capacity and utilization can have a significant impact on AGT's earnings. We have been watching volatility with respect to currencies closely. However, our risk management programs provide us with mechanisms to deal with this in our export business and operations. As well, we are optimistic that recently announced legislative remedies by the Government of Canada will assist in clearing the grain transportation system backlogs and return shipping to normalized seasonal flows. We are further optimistic that a rapid resolution will be found with respect to the strike by truckers at Port of Vancouver, certainly an important port for grain and commodity shipments from Canada. The early successes in our food ingredient and packaged food segment is a significant development for AGT as we transform our company with a rollout of this new segment. This segment is being driven particularly by our Minot facility producing pulses, flours, protein, starches, and fibers. Sales programs in these areas are tracking as per our expectation, and our margins have been focused currently on protein and fiber sales. These are particularly driven by our marketing agreement with Cargill. However, also more broadly in the global human food, pet food, and animal feed and aquaculture markets, as customers focus on the positive, non-GMO, gluten-free, high-fiber, high-protein, environmentally sustainable ingredients, characteristics that pulse ingredients provide for their applications and formulations. Starch and high-viscosity flour sale volumes are also being sold as well, allowing AGT to offer a full line of pulse ingredient food and feed ingredients for companies in their search of new novel ingredients. Our sales approach for all of our food ingredient products has been simple. Target the food and feed companies with ingredients that offer advantages to their business in terms of functionality, cost, or another advantage potentially related to allergens or other type of utilizations. Ensure the facility capacity to produce them is in place with capacity expansion tied to sales results and customer demand. Grow the business opportunities through collaborative R&D programs such as those underway at our R&D center in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. This approach has resulted in many cases of test sales and application research leading to conversion of test quantities for products into real commercial sales and volumes. The expansion in Minot is expected to be fully completed for Line 2 expansion by the end of this month, with commercial production currently underway. The added capacity in Minot is important to grow our business as it is needed to continue to expand our sales program, both with Cargill and through our own sales programs aimed at the global industry and the global food industry. We have begun the process of evaluation of Line 3 installation. We will continue this in 2014. Based on our sales program success, we plan to look further out at capacity conversions in Canada, the U.S., and Turkey to ensure that our capacity remains on pace with customer demand and sales opportunities. Conversion advantages provide opportunities to commission capacity with lower capital costs and a shorter time to market. As well, conversion of some of the capacity in these locations will positively impact AGT's overall utilization, which, given the high fixed cost nature of our business, can have incremental earnings benefit as scale and utilization targets are reached. The second component to our expanded food ingredient and packaged food segment is our AGT Click retail operations, formed from our earlier acquisition of the assets from Click International, a major Canadian ethnic and traditional retail food packager and canner and retail and food service distributor. For some time, we have operated successful retail brands and distribution in Turkey, Europe, Middle East, North Africa, and Southern Africa. For example, our Arbella pasta brand, we estimate, may be one of the most widely distributed brands of pasta in global markets, being sold in over 85 countries, and a leader in the Turkish domestic market based on available market data. We have products that are also widely distributed at retail throughout Southern Africa, and our Arbel brand of rice, pulses, and bulgur are being distributed throughout Turkey, Central Asia, and the Middle East. Expanding this business in North America provides many benefits and opportunities for the packaging and distribution of what had been categorized as ethnic foods, the lentils, peas, chickpeas, and beans we sell to markets every day. But these products are becoming more and more mainstream as consumers are increasingly focused on the non-GMO, high-protein, high-fiber, gluten-free characteristics that make pulses unique. In addition to the focus of our pulse products in our retail canned and retail packaged foods business, opportunities to introduce and distribute other products that we produce in our global platform, such as bulgur wheat, rice, popcorn, and other products to North American consumers using Click as a distribution platform may exist, and an expanded presence in both the retail and food service sector will add opportunities. Click has retail listings with some of the largest Canadian retailers and some of the best-known food service outlets. Opportunities for private label packaging and canning certainly exist as well. Overall, this business shows great potential for growth. Additionally, as key consumption locations globally for our traditional products move from local, small markets to mass retail groceries, we are increasingly being asked to ship to export markets, not in the large bags we have traditionally used, but rather in smaller retail and wholesale type packages ready for grocery store shelves in the same way we do in North America and Europe. This may fundamentally change our core legacy business, as well as creating more opportunity with regards to margin. The customers in both of these platforms, food ingredient and packaged foods, are highly specialized and appear to be less susceptible to the cyclical patterns in the global commodity business. Overall, the focus on this area, and particularly these expansions and acquisitions, accelerate our growth in the segment to expand and build on the success we've enjoyed in food ingredients and our pasta and other retail businesses globally. Our focus in this area comes not only for our desire to expand, but also to support the initiatives to diversify our business, utilize our origination and processing strengths, increase our capacity utilization, and ultimately smooth our earnings throughout the year. With the addition of our new lines of business, we are optimistic about our ability to create new sales and revenue opportunities while leveraging our strength, which we may feel assists in maintaining a healthy and more predictable earnings profile, generating free cash flow to fund our growth, reduce our debt, and provide value to our shareholders. I thank you for your interest in AGT, and I'll turn it back over for questions.
Operator, I think we'll take the first question.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. The first question today comes from Jacob Bout of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A question here on the pulse and grain processing margin. And they're down here in the fourth quarter. And just hoping you can give us a sense here of how we should be thinking about, because you made the comment that Australia was quite weak. There are some issues there, but maybe give us an idea how Canada and Turkey and Australia played out to get to that blended number of EBITDA per metric ton of $37.90.
Well, I think a couple of points, Jacob. First thing is, of course, we're now in a transitional quarter where we've reported to you a pulses and grain processing segment, which actually has the, you know, pulse ingredients and the pasta and the value-added pulse side moved out into the new segment called packaged food and food ingredients. So when you're looking at a quarter four legacy business pulse and grain processing number, you can't compare it to quarter one, two, and three necessarily, you know, in the same realm, because that was a blended number with all of them.
And if we look at the year-to-date number, that would be more reflective at 62.51.
Yeah, exactly. But getting back to the general side of it, we saw margins in the segment improving in the North American operation towards the end of the quarter. I think that you know, we saw positive tracking of margin as you know, it became apparent that there were potential risks on the Indian crop harvest in March, April, and there was a, you know, strong normalized demand in Turkey, North Africa, Middle East as a result of, you know, United Nations programs and other activities in that region. So, you know, what we expect is, you know, we're seeing Australia trending in a positive direction year over year. So their crop harvest in November, December was average, and we're seeing operations there tracking, you know, quite positively. And, you know, one of the things in Australia that we're seeing as a benefit is, you know, this is why we like global origin diversification. With the transport problems in the Canadian market in late December, January, and February, Australia is actually stepping in with an opportunity to fill, you know, quicker delivery into the Indian subcontinent on products and commodities, creating some margin opportunity. So, you know, I'm optimistic that margin tracking in our legacy business, we're going to see an improvement in quarter one, quarter two of 2014, and we expect utilization to keep running fairly high. I mentioned the transport issues, the rail backlog and the container strike. We're concerned about them, but we're optimistic that a beautiful sunny day in Saskatchewan today is just what the doctor ordered to help to move trains and get the product moving.
The next question comes from Alex Palavan of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, just furthermore on the rail issues in Canada, would it be possible for you to quantify your financial impact in Q1, and are you taking any measures to mitigate that impact?
Well, Alex, first of all, your question about, you know, Q1, you know, I can't really give you any guidance on Q1. There will certainly be an effect, you know, on a Q1. Now, if you're looking at a Q4 quantitative impact on what the rail backlog started in, say, end of November, December, I'd probably say, you know, somewhere in the range of about, you know, $1.5 to $2 million of earnings impact. Now, some of that will be caught up in quarter one, but really quarter one's been constrained. We're seeing more normalization, though. We're optimistic towards the end of March here and into April. You know, these delays are going to be mitigated. As I said to you, weather is a big issue where, you know, with the exceptionally cold winter across the country, so this wasn't just a Western Canadian issue, trains run, you know, at reduced capacities below minus 20 degrees Celsius. And so from that perspective, we're seeing some normalization. In terms of what we've done to mitigate, we're using all the gateways. You know, we have cargo moving to Montreal, we have cargo moving out of Halifax, Vancouver, and we had product that we shifted into the U.S. Utilizing U.S. ports of Seattle, Tacoma, and you know, we're expecting an active program using Montreal, Thunder Bay, and others going forward as well. So we're using all options, containers, intermodals, rail cars, to keep the factories running to the best of our ability.
The next question comes from Steve Hansen of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everyone. It's pretty encouraging to see the ramp-up Minot going well, but I was hoping, Brad, you could comment a little bit more on the differentiated demand you might be seeing in proteins and fibers versus starches and flours, and whether that difference might be some of the – is that one of the key gating factors in terms of pursuing the expansions at a quicker pace, or is it something else that's keeping you from pushing it a bit more aggressively?
Well, you know, Steve, as you're familiar with a guy who's been studying this ingredient business, it is essential for us to market all of the components that we produce. So, you know, protein demand, fiber demand has been very strong. Margins have been tracking as we expect. You know, our biggest concern in the ramp up from line one to line two was how do we sell all of the starch products and the flour products that are derived from the protein and the fiber extraction. I can tell you I'm very pleased to report that, you know, all of our starch products that are high viscosity flours, as we call it, V6000, is moving. And so we have sales, you know, commitments that are moving out that production as it's being produced. That's a point of optimism for us. The efforts now are to develop, you know, alternative uses for the starch byproducts that are in a higher value than maybe the current uses. So if we're using it in feed and pet food and some food applications now, how do we develop more, you know, meat analog, you know, bakery applications, batters and breading applications, dairy applications, so that we can ensure we're using extruded snacks is another great area where we see great promise. The pace of ramp up is really reliant on our ability to convert these application developments into sales. And we're seeing some really positive partnerships emerge. So I'm optimistic that we'll get line two running here. It's running. We'll try and ramp it up on the pace that we did on the last one. So, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, we hope to get it ramped up, and then we'll continue on with line three expansions and start to look at conversions in 2015.
The next question comes from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. In your segmented results in the financial statements, you provide some data on the new segments and then what the segments would have been had you not done this new segmentation. Hopefully that's not too complicated. But what I'm trying to get to here is in the pulses and grain processing, is the only difference between what would have been and what was disclosed the pasta business?
Laura, do you want to start on that? So really your question, Mark, if I can simplify it, is that when we reported what it would have been, it's really the old segment against the old segment.
Yeah, you've got a category that says what it would have been and what, and then you show what it is. And the difference, I'm curious as to what is the difference, the past, the business. Is that the only thing that came out of pulses and grain processing?
Yes, that's right. The only thing that came out was the pasta. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then in trading and distribution, the only difference is South Africa and the new Minot facility. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
The next question comes from Vitaly Savitsky of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I just got two questions here. With regards to gross margin, you realize adjusted of 8.5% in Q4. That's as you capitalize on some of the trading opportunities. Did you have any of those opportunities in Q1, and how do you see this evolving in 2014?
Yeah, I mean, trading and distribution, you know, it's certainly something that we continue to see, you know, within our platform. We expect it to continue, probably not necessarily in the magnitude that we saw in quarter four. So there were a few specific opportunities that we took advantage of related to marketing our core products. For instance, a large governmental contract in pasta came along with a contract in sugar that we executed successfully in quarter four. So, you know, that will be in and out opportunistically, Vitaly, as we see the opportunity. You know, one of the things as we ramp up the traded tons in the trading and distribution platform is we do end up in a way skewing that gross margin percentage in that, you know, we are doing a larger handle. We have a very short cash collection cycle, so it's positive dollar contribution, but it may in fact, you know, reduce our overall consolidated gross margin per a percentage when you look at the revenue growth versus the gross margin growth. So, you know, I think that as we continue to disclose the three segments, you're going to have much more meaningful ability to calculate your gross profit percentages by segment and track those versus the consolidated.
The next question comes from John Chu of AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A couple questions here. You quantified the impact that the rail had in Western Canada. Can you kind of quantify the impact that Australia had then for the segment and in also Williston?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, to give you an idea, I mean, Australia was in a position where, you know, again, and this isn't necessarily uncommon, John, where you get into a fourth quarter, and depending on the position of their crop in New South Wales and South Australia, the timing of that, whether it comes in, you know, early October, end October, November, end December, you know, depending on the timing of the harvest, affects how much goes into our quarter four versus quarter one. We did see a little bit later a harvest season this year. So the overall utilization of our Australian platform was quite reduced. We have a number of fixed obligations there. Like, for instance, we have to run trains to the container ports in New South Wales. And as a result of our rail agreement with the train service provider, we have to commit to a fixed volume of utilization in that lane. And what that forces us to do, John, is it forces us to trade, you know, cereal grains, sorghum, you know, canola, those types of things, even to fill the containers that go on that train if there are no pulses that are fitting within the marketing program in that segment. We saw that in quarter four. Australia was, relatively speaking, a non-contributor to the quarter four performance. And so as a result of that, I'm just looking at the numbers quickly here. Yeah, I mean, if we look at it's a relative non-performer. In fact, it might have been a slight drag on our overall earnings. We're expecting in quarter one and beyond for that to turn around, and we're happy with the progress of margins in Australia. In terms of North Dakota operations, Williston, North Dakota also has been constrained by rail issues related to the Bakken oil boom. But again, we see a positive, you know, trend in Jan, Feb, March, where they're starting to recover, and we're optimistic, especially for quarter two and beyond, that North Dakota in our legacy business will also be a positive contributor.
And can you comment maybe on just the food commercial sales that you're doing, and you know, obviously, what is that something where you could see that growing faster than what you were looking at originally on the feed and pet food side, and maybe just how the margins might compare to what you're looking at on the feed and pet food?
Well, listen, the pet food side is, of course, it's a positive margin contributor. The Cargill agreement was a big part of that. I think I can say at this point that I'm very pleased with the uptake that we're seeing from some of our food users. And, you know, we're optimistic on potential of further sales into some very large food companies. You know, as I mentioned earlier, meat and meat analogs, extruded snacks, batters and breadings, dairy applications. You know, these are really, you know, where we're seeing the strong focus, and there's been some you know, really good application testing happening in our labs, and you know, the way this works, John, is you know, a food company will take, you know, one ton, and then they'll take five tons, and then they go into a pilot production, and then they take commercial quantities. And we're starting to get to a point where we have a number of uses that are starting to take some commercial quantities. That's we're optimistic.
As a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question comes from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just two questions. First of all, is the margin profile comparable for the ingredient side for animal feed versus human consumption? And then second of all, can you give us a sense as to how much of your line two capacity at Minot is currently spoken for?
Well, Anoop, I would certainly say that you really have to look at three divisions in that food ingredient. You've got true feed, which is really, you know, feed is utilization in particular of our starch byproducts for feed applications, whether it be pelleting or you know, binding or some, you know, basic protein. You know, there are some of our products that are going into that on the starch fraction in particular. That's, of course, your lowest margin use. And over time, we expect to be able to replace all of that feed use into pet food, aquaculture, and human food uses. When you look at the pet food margin, very positive pet food margins profile compared to our legacy business in pulses. But when we get to the human food, we do have a step up again in margin where, you know, and also not only the step up in margin, but less variability in pricing where, you know, once we have a food company that is integrating that ingredient into a formulation, we end up in a position where we have a very, you know, sticky revenue and sticky margins that are not susceptible to macroeconomic fluctuations. You know, it's really only tied to the sale of the products, which we like that profile compared to what we do normally. I think that you'll see, you know, again, as the food uses ramp up on line two, you're going to see that overall margin profile in the packaged food and food ingredients segment to ramp up. Because, you know, we have a very small percentage of that segment that actually is accounted for by food ingredients because we've only installed line two, you know, it was only starting. So really line one was in the first, the fourth quarter of 2013. So very limited revenue, but still positive earnings contribution. With a high fixed cost in that segment, you know, we have the R&D lab, the scientists, the marketing programs, all the staff being trained up for running line two, you know, we still ended up, you know, positively contributing to earnings. Line two will have a strong impact on profitability. As far as line two sales being spoken for, we're expecting the ramp up. We're optimistic it may follow a similar pattern to the first line, where it took us around, you know, 3, 4, 5 months to get it ramped up and utilized. We do see, you know, good sales visibility in protein and fiber. And as I mentioned earlier, all the starch is selling. So we're optimistic that we can ramp that up over the coming, you know, couple of quarters.
The next question is a follow-up question from Steve Hansen of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Murad, I was hoping you could elaborate a little bit on your commentary at the outset that you're suggesting you're seeing increased demand for exports in smaller bags. And I think you suggested that could change your legacy export business. I'm trying to understand exactly what's driving that change and how quickly that could, you know, change the existing platform.
Well, you know, Steve, it's a great question. And, you know, we're seeing markets, you know, changing before our eyes in that, you know, it's all about, you know, understanding what retail really means. I mean, when we say to our analysts and our investors, we want to be more involved in the wholesale food service and retail sector, you know, sometimes people get nervous thinking that it's about, you know, having a brand that we're pumping millions of dollars into advertising. No, the actual truth is, in our case, we're doing, you know, what's called a supply chain push strategy. You know, we produce very high quality, attractively packed product that is available in the market segments in which we play, and that will drive sales over time. So, you know, for instance, we're seeing markets like, you know, Egypt in North Africa. You know, the usual packing a decade ago was 50 kilogram bags, so 110 pounds. Then it went down to 25 kilo bags, which is 55 pounds. Well, today there's a very significant segment that is being packed and sold in 10 kilogram bags. So 10 kilogram is now a cash and carry, where a family actually purchases 10 kilo bag, takes it home, puts it in their pantry, and uses it in a month, and then buys another 10 kg bag. You know, we're seeing in markets like India, we're starting to see the emergence of a retail sector, you know, where all of a sudden now it's 2 kg, 5 kg, 10 kg, 15 kg are starting to be readily available in the markets. You know, in fact, you know, there's been quite a bit of publicity around, you know, large, you know, players. Tata Chemicals is a great example, where they've actually launched a home delivery service for pulses. So they're actually delivering retail-packed quantities, you know, into home delivery. I mean, this shows you that the Indian market is changing over time. The Click acquisition allows us to be in a position where we can start to utilize the Port of Montreal as an export location into North Africa, Middle East, even into Europe, where we do see opportunities to pack 1 kg, 2 kg, 5 kg. And Gaetan and his team will be looking at, you know, further initiatives throughout our legacy business to reduce our packing size and be more able to react to the changing wholesale and food distribution trends and markets.
The next question comes from Vitaly Savitsky of Canaccord Genuity.
Thanks a lot. I just wanted to follow up on the cost side of things. So there was a G&A, you guys did approximately $32 million after all adjustments this year. How do you see this going into 2014? And then the same question for marketing costs, interest costs, and tax rate, if you could.
Yeah, I think you know what, you've certainly seen a fully loaded cost base here. And, you know, Lori, I think if you want to give a couple of comments on G&A, and then I'll just give some summaries at the end, but go ahead.
Yeah. So our global footprint is, you know, obviously growing. As I mentioned in my notes, we have new sales offices in Russia, the Ukraine. China's getting up and running, and India, and they've all been, you know, really good, starting to contribute really well to our bottom line, but obviously causing an increase in the G&A costs, and also the food ingredient platform ramping up. I think going forward, that's likely going to be a fairly consistent number. You know, as we continue to grow, we've got the new Click acquisition now that has come on board in January, which will add to that, but, you know, of course, also add to our earnings profile.
I think, you know, certainly if you look at the table in our MD&A, you know, the quarterly financial disclosure table, page 14, I think, of the MD&A, you can see actually that if you remove out the listing, or you normalize the one-time costs in quarter four, you know, we saw an average of around, say, $8 million of G&A. So the $32 million, I think, is a pretty good proxy for what you're going to see going forward, because the G&A costs already ramped up. The food ingredient, you know, Lori mentioned China. Now, we officially opened the new Chinese processing plant in Tianjin on the, I think it was the 9th or 10th of January of 2014. So, you know, the ramp up of costs there to be able to deliver the bean processing in the new 160,000 square foot processing and warehouse distribution facility we built, you know, that's already fully loaded and baked into our cost structure. So our focus right now is, you know, I think if you look at the G&A costs in 12 versus the volumes handled, and then you look at the G&A costs in 13 versus the volume handled, we have a you know, very, you know, consistent profile of G&A, yet we had a 40% increase in tons. This is showing that our G&A initiatives are holding the line on cost. When as margins start to improve, this is all going to go to bottom line earnings, you know, significant contribution. That's, I think, the positive takeaway. Our cost containment initiatives work. And I think I want to mention another one. No one's asked, but I want everybody to understand that net debt remained constant. I think it went down $1 million.
$1 million, yeah.
But if you look at the significant growth in inventory and receivables that happened in the fourth quarter because of the turnover increase, for net debt to remain constant shows that, again, our working capital initiatives are working. We're containing debt. And as the receivables and inventory convert to cash, you will see debt reduction coming in 2014.
The next question is a follow-up from John Chu of AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. One question. Click, can you give us a sense on what the run rate in terms of sales and margin was? And then maybe the second question just being, with you focusing more on pushing through more beans, chickpeas, and green peas and seeds and whatnot, can you give us a sense of, you know, how you envision that trend going? I know you've talked about that before, but maybe give us some numbers for 2012, 2013, and then where you see that going for the next couple of years.
Well, I mean, John, first of all, there's no click in the quarter four results, right? We only completed the acquisition in quarter one of 2014. So, you know, going forward, you know, I think that the public disclosures on their website, we didn't disclose any revenue figures, but I think they were disclosing prior that they were around $45 million in revenue. So, you know, that revenue run rate is going to certainly increase as we put our supply chain and our, you know, capital behind, you know, increasing the distribution throughout North America and starting to export. We expect to have a very strong focus on our core items. So lentils, chickpeas, beans, you know, rice, bulgur, pasta, you know, these are really core driving items that we're going to be driving the retail and the food service strategy there. You know, I think you'll have to stay tuned for a bit more clarity as we, you know, continue to disclose the segment, you'll see. But I'm very optimistic into my third month running that. We have a, you know, good management team we're building. And, you know, the strength of the brand, actually, in particular in the ethnic market, is strong. And with the national retail distribution, it's all about being competitive in our supply chain to drive margin. That's our focus is drive margin through what they're already doing by taking control of our own supply chain.
The next question is a follow-up from Alex Palavan of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Last year, lentil exports to India were very strong. Do you expect a repeat this year?
Do I expect what, Alex? Repeat that?
A repeat of the strong Q2 lentil exports to India.
So you're talking about 2014 versus 2013. Do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, no, I mean, with the Indian, this is Gaitan Barasa here, with the reports from India of rain and whatnot, there will be another strong export year to India from Australia and Canada, probably more than last year.
Yeah, there was actually, you know, a view from the statistics that are being released up until the end of February. You know, there is, you know, a bit of a view that exports would be consistent or maybe down year over year. You know, we do see the potential of significant crop quality and yield issues. We're seeing strong demand in the second and third quarters already booked out for India. So we're very optimistic that's going to be a positive driver in the business, Alex.
Operator, and everyone still on the call, that brings us to the end of our questions in this session. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the call. And I'd like to remind everyone that's still on the phone with us that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you all for attending our conference call, and I wish you all a very good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.